Blog Talk Radio.
And the time has come for the prey to become the predator in order to survive. Rest in peace, Malcolm Shaw, Oscar Grant, Sean Bale, and all the other brothers and sisters who were forced to make an early entrance into the Ogun. This we do in remembrance of you. From Black Wall Street, Rosewood, and that damn Jim Crow. 400 years, sweat and tears, I'ma do Diallo. Tyshawn Miller, Rodney King, Redneck, Popo. I'ma kill me a cracker, I'ma kill me a cracker. If the crackers wanna trip, I'ma let my thing rip. If these crackers wanna trip, I'ma let my thing rip. If these crackers wanna trip, I'ma let my thing rip. I'ma let my thing rip. I'ma let my thing rip. One call, bring them all, wet brown, move me out, boo them all. Coming after y'all, every Africa, one shot that does crack a mic.
Yo, for 30 years, I gave my life for the rise of our nation. I've never asked for anything, but I'm going to continue to give my life for you.
I'll rise for y'all, make my word that I bind, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'm going to try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the streets, I even lie for y'all, cry for y'all. I'll rise for y'all, make my word that I bind, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the street, I even lie for y'all. Cry for y'all. No, look, listen, I serve the field. Nigga, manifest, I'm rapping sun, moon, and star. Through them 120 lessons, mental blessings be my essence. Feel this got me present. 196 million be my resident. Stop pestilence, lack degrees, lack common sense. Got you bowing on your knees for them dead presidents. False testament, mixed with a quarter ounce of negligence. Almost getting married, made it easy, but degenerate. Now we ain't shit. Feel nigga, tough to change it. Up your ass cause you're brainless. Niggas stay marching for their freedom cause it's painless. House niggas need to blind, moving nameless.
I'll rise for y'all, make my word that I find, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the streets, I even lie for y'all, cry for y'all. I'll rise for y'all, make my word that I find, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the street, I even lie for y'all, cry for y'all.
We are the real generals, silence to me people, now them label me a criminal.
Come get me now, fifth murderation, man, come get me now, wreck me now.
know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the streets, I even lie for y'all. Cry for y'all, I'll ride for y'all. Make my word that I bond, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the street, I even lie for y'all. Cry for y'all.
My loyalty, my sincerity, and my dedication can never, ever fucking be questioned.
I'll ride for y'all. Make my word that I bond, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the streets, I even lie for y'all. Cry for y'all. I'll ride for y'all. Make my word that I bond, that I'll die for y'all. And I know we ain't free, but I'ma try for y'all. If it'll keep you on the street, I even lie for y'all. Cry for y'all.
Set niggas slutter, schmuck, the riders when they on Facebook. Catch them slipping at these rallies and they act real shook. 24-7 on the ground, my comrades putting it work. New generation, the Panther organizing the turn. Deal with the brothers on the block, cause we the last ones that they got. Beat the people, bang on cops, political air to break the lock. Couple times for the masses, build community defense. While these boot licking bougie ass niggas ride the fence. Used to was a boost, ain't no half-ends in the movement. I got elders and soldiers, but still dedicated to it. It's a lifetime commitment, black riders gon' represent it. Flipping the tribalism with our OG like the prison. But thanks to General Top, I sympathizing with the block. And nobody gave a fuck, they assassinated Pop. Like they assassinated Malcolm, set him up to Tijuana. But we coming for revenge, and I put that on my mama.
Like they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free, but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood, I'm a rise to the day I'm buried, to go out in the burst of flames. My business as a revolutionary, I'm the last of a dying breed. Pray to God I live long enough to teach my seed, fulfilling my legacy. Ride on the enemy, I'm peeping they plot, but they more kept resisting niggas and start to kill on my block. These cowards fake as fuck, they rat you out to the cops, smiling your face. But these niggas got me twisted like locks with full of what fake niggas I can't fuck with. Niggas are shady nowadays, so be careful who you run with. Precision shots, only thing my guns fit. Niggas be working for the state, so they can't let so they hit. Not every government agent wears a gun on his hip. Strategically placed cooperatives to roam in the midst. Gotta learn from my mistakes, separate the real from the fake. It's the reason why these bougie try to leave your niggas safe.
Say they wanna end police brutality,
but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? In the same sense of niggas say they wanna be free, but how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? No blood to bleed, niggas sweat and keep the G. But how you gonna do that if you got no blood to bleed? You can try to poke a hole in Black Rider philosophy, but you'll never do that, cause you got no blood to bleed. No blood to bleed.
Assault against African centeredness is increasing in size and magnitude. There's a lot of fear in our community. There's a lot of need to be validated and loved by enemies in our community. There's a lot of need to run from who you are because it is something that you despise. Self-hatred and matricide are deep, and it seems like they're growing deeper. But what I see in front of me tells me that it's not victorious. If there's one person sitting here, and that means that we haven't lost.
Right.
we have a lot of work to do, and we need to focus our attention on our children, because they're the ones who are the primary targets right now on this issue and every other issue of insanity.
Baba Baruch
turns us into somebody who we are not. If we're going to win, we have to produce warriors.
Initiated, student of the Ewa, so baptized by the warrior teachers. I'm training, learning how to shoot the gauge while you burn the stage playing video games. This message here's for the RBG Brigade. Shed blood, bring peace, that's the warrior's way. Libation is the blood, sweat, and tears. EYA, Hashe, I'm bringing death to the quiz. I wanna live, so I die for the kids. Back smack gangsters coming home from bids. Free your dome, you only hard to kill your own. A straight race traitor, the white man's clone. Burrito man, I'ma continue to plan. Choke the life out of a cracker with my bare hands. That's my word, my deed, and my thought. From sun up to sundown, true warriors fought.
This needs to be emulated everywhere we are at. Those people who are calling themselves warriors, well, the root word of warrior is war. And either you're playing games and trying to be a fake thug, or you really are about the business of protecting your community because you realize that we are at war. And you act like we are at war, not like we're at peace.
Firm handshake, look a brother in the eye so I can tell if he fake. I can see through the disguise if he got a forked tongue, speaking disrespectful lies. A sock to Baba Baruch, respect him cause he wise. Dropping wisdom on the pages, so stand up and be courageous. Our enemies engaging with grenades and shotty gauges. With machetes, with the razors, with the stick or with the stone, or bare knuckles to their faces. Got a hatred for the racists, other times are for the traitors. Won't forget about the lynchings, how they fed us to the gators. Real gangsters protect their neighbors, won't betray us for some paper. Our secrets keep it sacred, our legacy's the greatest. They the greatest, cause they haters, they some haters. I drop it like an anchor with the hopes that it'll change us. The artificial flavors. You want to be a player while they hanging. So which team you playing for, the underdog or for the face?
Warriors are supposed to be about the business of defending those people in their community. They're supposed to be about the business of making people comfortable, giving them a space. People say warriors are healers, and they are. Sometimes healing is that tough love thing where you got to handle people in a particular way. But our job is to make it so that our people have all obstacles removed from their way in being African.
We are at war. I don't think there's any other way to begin this or to say it. We are at war. We're in a physical war of attrition, which for some people it may appear that we are losing, but I measure it based upon how far I've moved away from being European. The slave's wisdom is in the master's head. When these speak, words are meaningless. If they come and get your men at night, they'll be back in the morning for your women. Proverbs are people's wisdom. But when you teach children in Proverbs, then you are cultivating their ability to think. We have to stop sometimes. Someone will say a proverb to us, and we have to stop and think about what it means. And then what it means in terms of the context of whatever they're talking to us in. Because Proverbs work your brain. Proverbs make you think. Imagine what we would have in our communities if every other sentence, every other discussion we had, we presented our children with a proverb relative to that. What kind of firepower we would have in the minds of our children. We wouldn't have a situation like we have now where we've moved from miseducation where they're given the wrong information to diseducation where they don't want to have to think because it's work. Proverbs shows you how intelligent you are. It gives you the wisdom of your ancestors. I wanted to go through a list of what it is to be a man, or what manhood is supposed to be about already. So for me, manhood involved at least five major components. You have educator, leader, provider, protector, and respecter of women. In our home, politics are simple. Politics don't have to be big. They should really be simple things. For Eniana, no Euros, no homos, no Negroes. One word for me. It's a very important word in our house. Well, Jairi Clark talked about how the Romans, when they wanted to conquer Kemet, they would greet each other every day. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must not fall. Greeting, fellow Roman. Egypt must fall. And this was an affirmation they said to each other day in and day out until they did it. We must say something along those lines. How you say and what you say, that's up to you, but we need to incorporate that into our conversation. We say a bibi fahodie. Can you say that with me? A bibi fahodie. A bibi fahodie. That's tree for African liberation. A bibi fahodie. We say that when we greet each other in the morning. We say that when we walk out the door. We say that when we're going to bed. We say that whenever anyone sneezes. A bibi fahodie. A bibi fahodie. A bibi fahodie. A bibi fahodie.
Minister Louis Farrakhan, we are now told by our leader to look toward the leader within.
Yes, sir.
Which is another way of saying look toward the God within yourself. For there is a messenger, there is a God in all of us who speaks to us all the time. Speaks to us and gives us words of wisdom and light and truth and guidance. But we don't always listen to the voice of God, to the godly and divine leader within that would direct us on the straight path. The path that would lead to health, happiness, success, love, prosperity, money, good homes, and friendship in all walks of life. We many times fight to silence the voice of the God within and to put down the God within. One of the greatest exercises of communicating with the God within, our ancestors knew about this a long time ago. Our ancestors in ancient Africa, our ancestors who called on the God of Kumkulu,
yes,
the one God,
yes,
was just another name for saying God Almighty.
Yes,
our ancestors who called on Nakumpo, who called on Umvelinko, our ancestors who called on Oshun, Ogun, Yemanja, Ofatula, who called on Oludumare, who called on Olufun and Ileda, who called on Asa and Aset, our ancestors who spoke different dialects of the African tongue of the original language, called on one God, but they called him by many names. But no matter what name you call him by, no matter what name you call her by, because the Quran teaches us that man and woman are twin halves of the same essence. Twin halves of the same divine essence. So you don't have the God unless you got the Godhead, and you don't have the Godhead unless you got the God. But they're twin halves of the same essence. They understood the importance of prayer. Now, there was a time when we didn't go into buildings to pray.
Yes, right.
We didn't go into buildings to pray. We didn't have to deal with the ritual of prayer.
Right.
We didn't deal with the ritual of prayer because our every pulse beat, for the most part, our heart beat, our deeds and actions were in harmony for the most part and in tune to a great degree with the divine, universal, natural, and cosmological order of things, and in harmony with the divine law and will of Almighty God. So our deeds were a prayer. Our actions were a prayer.
Right.
Our words were a prayer.
Right.
a building with a roof on it. We prayed under that, the roof of that great church, that great cathedral, that great synagogue, that great masjid, that great mosque, that great temple of the Holy of Holies, which had as its canopy the heavens or the stars of the divine supreme being that he has stretched out over this vast expanse called 196,940,000 square miles called planet Earth today. We understood prayer.
Come on.
If we're going to contact the God within and look toward the leader within and look toward the Allah of the God in the person of the black man and woman or the black ummah or community or the black nation, we must understand what prayer is all about. Prayer is actually focus. What is it?
Focus.
Prayer is focus. Prayer is meditation. Prayer is not only focus and meditation, but prayer is spiritual and divine concentration. It's focus. It's meditation. It's concentration. It's communion and communication with the divine supreme being. It puts us in tune and in harmony with the spiritual and mathematical laws of the cosmos and with the proper words spoken at the right time, with the proper thought at the right time, focused and directed and concentrated and meditated and communicated. We can rearrange the atoms in the atmosphere. We can rearrange the molecules in the atmosphere. We can reach out through the darkness of our circumstance and touch somebody somewhere and move them in the direction that we want to move them in, that we might gain ease and joy, that we might gain peace of mind, and that we might gain what is called that state where we enter into peace. Prayer, focus, meditation, concentration, communion, and communication. Some of the Islamic scholars say that when we pray, we should pray in an audible tone. We should pray in a tone where we can hear ourselves. Well, why do you have to hear yourself? You must pray in an audible tone sometimes so that you can contact the God within yourself. There is no true God in the sky. There is no devil under the ground. God is in the person of man and woman. The devil came in the person of the white man and woman. And some of us try to out devil the devil today.
Come on.
So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be long today, but I'm sure going to be strong. We're dealing with Allah in the person, God in the person, and as the most honorable Elijah Muhammad apostle, the honorable minister Louis Farrakhan is directing us in the current issue of the final call. I just saw it when I got here. I've been working on this subject as I was shaving it, and he said, look toward the leader within. I said, hey, this is where I was going. And so I sat and read while these fiery ministers, these lightning bolts, these claps of thunder were up here raining down truth upside of our heads and into our minds and hearts. I was reading from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's work. They say that whatever the mind of woman and man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. They say, as a man thinketh, as a woman thinketh, so is she, so is he. That means that the mind master directed thought.
I'm mad.
The big payback.
Got to get back. I need some get back.
During Reconstruction, we held every major position you can imagine.
That's right.
From the 41st Congress to the 56th Congress, we were involved in every one of the congressional systems or the congressional process from that 41st to the 56th.
Yeah.
We were mayors. We were judges.
Right.
We were sheriffs.
Right.
We were senators. We were congressmen. And even B.K. Bruce of the Treasury Department, a black man, had his signature on all paper money in the United States of America. So it made no difference that a redneck camel breath, snuff dipping, tobacco chewing, straw chewing, beer belly, overall wearing peckerwood, hated niggas. Every cracker, in order to buy anything, had to spend money with a black man's signature during Reconstruction on the paper money. But when white folks got tired of niggas being in political positions of authority over them, they lined up armed white men at the door of Congress. Bishop Henry McNeil Turner of the AME Church,
that's right,
armed guards stood at the door of Congress and would not permit Bishop Henry McNeil Turner, a black elected public official and a congressman, to enter the halls of Congress. They stood at the door of the mayor's office. They lined armed guards up at the sheriff's office, a black sheriff elected to be the sheriff of the town. But crackers stood at the door with their guns and said, no more nigger sheriffs in this town.
Right.
And brought another big beer bellied peckerwood with overalls on, who was the new sheriff, Big Bubba.
Yeah.
And they said, nigger, Big Bubba's the sheriff here in town now. No more nigger sheriff. And if you don't get away from here, we're going to arrest you. Judges were unseated.
That's right.
Senators were unseated. And Knight Riders, Ku Klux Klan, and disgruntled, angry, egotistical white men decided that it was a period that had to be stopped, that blacks were infringing on the rights of white people. Does it sound familiar? They're talking about the angry white male today. And under charges of exaggerated corruption, exaggerated corruption in politics, the poor black man was swept from political position. It looked like a period of political prosperity. But when the white man got tired of black people being in these political positions, he drove us from these political positions. But you're running all over the place, ready to vote. Some of you with your dreadlocks, you're ready to vote. Some of you with an African name as long as North Avenue, you're ready to vote, trying to decide which cracker you're going to vote for. And it's not even the popular vote that determines who the president is going to be. It's the Electoral College vote that determines who the president is going to be. And you're going to go behind a glorified shower curtain pulling a lever, trying to decide which one of these peckerwoods you're going to vote for. It's impossible to defend black law and not break white law. Impossible to defend white law and not break black law. The two are diametrically opposed, 180 degrees different from each other. You cannot seek freedom and independence for black people and talk integration talk with white folks. You cannot talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's impossible to do that. You cannot say we must get away from the color game and the skin game when you are black and your color and your melanin is what marks you and hooks you with the universe and links you with the spiritual divine. and cosmological order of things. You cannot say we must get away from that and say that you are defending divine law and defending black law.
Right.
We, brothers and sisters, must understand the very nature in which God has created us. We are righteous by nature. We are other than righteous by circumstance. It is 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general under the white man that has put us in this condition. 400 years in specific and 6,000 years in general that causes us to break black law today. You can't say you're defending black law when you will eat anything. Put anything in your body. Eat whatever you saw the peckerwood eat. Ham hocks might be good for the white man. Pork chops and pig feet might be good for the white man. A whole lot of meat might be good for the white man. But it's not good for your delicate system. You cannot defend white law and not offend and break black law at the same time. Remember, your law is not what is written on paper, but it is the very nature in which God has created you. And I'm happy that they asked me to say a word, at least, on black law. Let's go further with the subject that was given to me here tonight, dealing with revolution and dealing with war coming in America, and what the topic theme is to reflect and focus on guidelines for war. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, war is coming in this country.
Yes, sir.
War is coming in this country on an escalated level. We're already in a war. We may not be at war, but we're definitely in a war. And the white man is waging warfare against us in every field, in every discipline, on every plane. It makes no difference if you're a basketball nigga. The white man is waging war against basketball niggas. A football one, a baseball one, an actor on the big movie screen or the small television screen. It makes no difference. The white man is waging war. If you work as a janitor, or a maintenance engineer on the job, the white man is waging war. He's cutting the food stamps. He's waging war. He's cutting affirmative action. He's waging war. Section 8 entitlement. He's waging war. The attack on the black student who cannot finance an education, the white man is waging war. He is working to maintain white supremacy. And all over America, they are now beginning to kill us at an alarming rate. Shoot us 25 times, shoot us 10 times, shoot us 8 times. Apply the chokehold, and then when the cop, after witnesses have seen it all over the community, when the cop goes before the court of the criminal justice system of white America, they let him go scot-free. The white man is waging war. Mark Furman says the policeman, meaning the white policeman, is God on the street with his gun and with his badge. He is judge, jury, and executioner right on the spot. But the question is, what is the black man doing? What is the black woman doing? What are we doing to defend black law? To defend our survival here on this planet? You can read everything you want to read, and we must read. You can study everything you want to study, and we must study. You can build and develop everything that you want to build and develop. But unless you have an army to defend what you're building and developing, an enemy or a savage beast will take what you build. You must have a way to protect it. And so we must build a black liberation army.
Bible.
That's right.
I'm not producing something other than what you already have.
Yes, sir. All right.
He says, he was a murderer from the beginning. Who knows better than you and me?
Right.
We lived under them for 400 years.
That's right.
They have murdered us for 400 years.
Right.
And still murdering our kind all over the earth. He came, he seeks to save that which was lost.
Yes, sir.
This is enough to tell you and acquaint you with the good of the coming of God, seeking to save.
Yes, sir.
Save you from what?
Yes, sir.
We must understand.
That's right.
He's a murderer and a liar. If he's a murderer and a liar, he did not teach you the truth then. We go over here and we take a look.
Yes, sir.
At the revelation.
Take your time.
And Revelation teaches us.
Yes, sir.
We are in the 12th chapter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That he was a great deceiver.
Yeah. Yes,
that's right.
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 He deceived the whole.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which it should have.
Yes, sir.
Been put in words, people.
Right.
He deceived all the people of the earth. And teaching me from the mouth of Almighty God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
To whom praise is due.
Right.
Forever.
Right.
He said that the white race have deceived, brought in subjection, 9/10 of the population of the people of the earth.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's
right. Wait, I see these things you must know.
That's right.
Right.
He deceived the whole people.
Right.
Brought them to inner war against God Almighty and the truth of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
According to history, the white people have ever been at war. Ever since that day, had civilization.
That's right.
According to their own history writing, they have never been able to get alone in peace with themselves.
Never. Never.
I want you, my beloved black brothers and sisters,
yes, sir,
to know the truth.
Yes, sir.
As the prophesy here in the Bible, in this same book on the title St. John, the truth will make you free.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Free of what?
Go ahead.
Free of being misled by a liar. It is time.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know the truth today, goodbye.
Yes, sir.
There are some people who fear and is ashamed to accept truth.
Right.
Because of fearing to lose friendship with the enemy of the truth. You don't have his friendship if you accept or reject.
That's right.
Because by nature he's against you. By nature he was made against you. By nature he will oppose you if you take him to heaven. did do that. We have history proof that he opposed you even in heaven. That's why 6,000 years ago they had to throw him out. And to have peace today, they have to throw him out of the earth. To save you from what?
Beautiful.
He comes to save.
Yes, sir.
The world is at war now. Who started it? The one who started is the guilty one.
That's right.
It was not Islam.
No, sir.
It had to be Christianity.
That's right.
It was Christian Europe who started the war in 1914 among themselves.
That's right.
And that war lasted up until 1939, wasn't it? When that the Ethiopia was invaded.
Yes, sir. Wake us up.
That war brought us in war with Asia.
That's right.
The jumping off was on Asia.
Yes, sir.
In 1942.
Yes, sir. That's
right. And ever since 1942, the world been wrestling.
Yes, sir.
With one piece of arms after another.
That's right.
Right. To bring them to today, the end and final end of war.
Yes, sir.
To do what, Muhammad? To put an end to war making.
Yes, sir.
Put an end to those who delight themselves in making war.
Yes, sir.
Stop them once and for all.
Right. Go ahead, your father. Yes, sir.
Since that they had among themselves in Europe once upon a time a 30-year war, a 100-year war, and everywhere that they have gone, so history teaches us.
Right.
On the planet Earth, among people, they started war.
Right.
Yes, sir. This is the people that answers to their history in Quran.
That's right.
What will you make? But something that will make mischief in the land and cause bloodshed.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
It is this race of people.
That's the truth.
That makes mischief.
Yes, sir.
Everywhere they go.
That's right.
And causes bloodshed.
Peace on peace.
The people were at peace.
Yes, sir.
In the islands of the Pacific.
Right.
And in the mainland of the Far East.
Right.
They were at peace.
That's right.
Until the Christian goes in with his Bible.
Right.
That's right. And with his bottle of whiskey. Yes.
That's right.
That's right.
And with his Marines sitting out at sea.
Yes, sir.
With gunboats.
Yes, sir.
To throw shells.
Yes.
On the people. Of the mainland and ours to force them in subjection.
That's right.
To their will.
Right. That's right, dear Father.
There is no people absolutely following this civilization or the rule of white European people only by force.
Yes, sir. Right.
And fear.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
You'll find that in your Bible.
That's right.
That they rule them.
Yep.
By fear.
Yep.
By force.
That's right. That's
right. I want you to know the truth.
Right.
As the time is at hand.
Messenger, all prophets coming after me. I'm the last one of those people. No more after me. No whiner will ever come after me. The only whiner that will come after me is that one that you read there in the Bible that the book says he went and placed one foot on the sea and one on dry land. And he lifted up a trumpet. And his words was, I will be. The time that you know it, I will soon know no more. And that man will have his foot in those positions because he's going to cut a short in gravity, so Allah taught me. We had read it, but we didn't know how he was going to bring it about. He said, a way he will do, he'll cut a shortage into gravity, like a shortage gets in these electric wires here, and they blow off. And that when he does that, all the air over land will burst in a flame of fire. And the water, there will be no burst of flames over it, but over the land. And that these flames will leap up into space 12 miles. They'll be that high. Nothing but a flame of fire burning the atmosphere. All the atmosphere that we breathe now will become a flame of fire. So these things is now pointing at our home here in America. He said this is the only part of the earth that fire will actually cover. The other part of the earth will not be covered with fire. And that it will burn, he said, for 390 years. This part of the earth of ours will burn 390 years. Nobody will be able to stay here or come here with a flame of fire cutting through with atmosphere 12,000 miles, you must remember. That's a terrific flame of fire. No, not 12,000, pardon me, 12 miles. But that'll clean us up. After you get 12 miles up into space, you don't have no good air to breathe. You have to close you in. Something in it gives you oxygen. So my beloved brothers and sisters, who that has been listening to the truth of the judgment, I want you to get ready now, not to wait like the people of Lot, people of Noah. Don't wait for the last minute, because then nobody love us but God. They don't want us. We are too ignorant. And disgraceful of self and others. They don't want us. Nobody wanted us, he said to me, but himself. It was him, the one that wanted us. He said, if it had been left with them, he said, the other sciences would not have give no chance for this devil at all. He said they would have killed him as soon as his time was up, because that they had been waiting for the time. He said they was ready. He said some of the boys, young men, teenagers and whatnot, they go around in circles singing a song. take me to North America. Take me to North America. Land me on the shore of Tennessee. I promise my Allah will not return until I push the devils in the hells. I thank you.
When he achieves fame among the public, he foolishly acts like Lucifer. He turns in to make war against me. We did not try to interfere with Malcolm, especially when he come right in my door. I didn't tell my followers to go out there and kill Malcolm.
That's right.
I wanted him to be brought to an altar by that which he preached. Let God take care of him.
Would you say flatly that no black Muslims were involved in the shooting of Malcolm X?
I wasn't there, but I don't believe that any of my followers was there. It had nothing to do with it at all. We don't do a thing like that.
And
we are not permitted to do a thing like that by the Quran. A hypocrite is not to be killed.
Dear Holy Apostle, assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, to whom all praise is due, whom we forever thank for giving us the most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad as our divine leader, teacher, and guide. I want to put what I'm going to say to you on this tape for two purposes. Number one, I want to really apologize to you for having let you down, for the mistakes that I've made, especially during the past year. I want to confess my fault, confess my wrong. I want to confess my weaknesses. I want you to know that thanks to Allah and you, I'm able to see myself better now. I'm able to see my weaknesses better now and my shortcomings better now. I do believe that in seeing them better, it may be possible for me to overcome them and become a better person. At least I am praying to Allah that this is the case. And above all else, I'm praying to Allah to put mercy and forgiveness in your heart. And if you weren't merciful nor forgiving toward me, I could well understand it. I've always known that Master W.D. Farad is Allah. I believe that Master W.D. Farad is Allah, and I believe that you are his messenger. I believe that your program is right, and I believe that your teachings are right, and that it was my belief in this that made me as successful as I was. Especially it was my firm belief in this that enabled me to stand up in the face of all opposition on television, on radio, before colleges, and before people out in the street at mass rallies, and support your program and present your program and represent your program. It was my faith in it that enabled me to represent it.
Get your money, man. Get your bread up. Gotta do it for yourself. Know you fed up. Get your study on. All praise be to God. Stay read up. God never let up. Everyone that I'm...
Now look at the wisdom of God. I'm just about finished now. Malcolm went out of the nation. We all were hurt. At least I can speak for myself. I loved him. Next to Elijah Muhammad, I didn't know anybody greater than Malcolm X. It hurt me that he would go out of the nation. But then the worst hurt was Malcolm going to Mike Wallace. Telling Mike Wallace, and listen to the words now, Elijah Muhammad fathered children from his teenage secretaries. So Malcolm raised it to a moral issue. Listen to me carefully. Putting himself in the righteous position, putting his teacher in an immoral position, but then he's going to the white man to tell the white man what his leader and teacher had done. He did it with Mike Wallace. You can't deny this. This is actual fact. He came here to Chicago and went to Kupcinet. When has Kupcinet been a friend of black people? And he told Kup, Elijah Muhammad, I thought he was a man. Fathered these children and wouldn't, in other words, kept it a secret and whatnot. I found that he was less man than I thought. Wow. He dogged the messenger. The man that took him from a pimp, from a hustler, from a stick-up man, and send him before the world. Now he's dogging his teacher. What do you think we felt? Elijah Muhammad wasn't just a leader. That's our spiritual guide and father, brother. You don't have to order me to kill you. If you attack my father, my orders come from my love. I want you to hear me good, because every Muslim that loved Elijah Muhammad would have killed Malcolm if we had gotten a chance. No, I don't need no damn applause. I want you to think now. We didn't incite that. Malcolm incited that in us. He would have been dead. He would never have lasted a year. Elijah Muhammad told us, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Told me to my face, leave him alone. And I'm an obedient servant. Yeah, I love Elijah Muhammad enough that if you attack him, I would kill you. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'm not a killer, but neither are you. But if somebody attack what you love, each one of you in here would become a killer instantaneously. Am I lying? Mother, let somebody look like they're attacking your child. Here's a woman who fought a bear because the bear snatched her baby. And she ran the bear down, screaming until the bear dropped her baby. Love casts out fear. We don't give a damn about no white man law when you attack what we love. And frankly, it ain't none of your business. What have you got to say about it? Did you teach Malcolm? Did you make Malcolm? Did you clean up Malcolm? Did you put Malcolm out before the world? Was Malcolm your traitor or was he ours? And if we dealt with him like a nation deals with a traitor, what the hell business is it of yours? Just shut your mouth and stay out of it. Because in the future, we're going to become a nation. And the nation got to be able to deal with traitors and cutthroats and turncoats. The white man deals with his. The Jews deal with theirs. Salman Rushdie wrote a nasty thing about the prophet, and Imam Khomeini put out a death thing on him, and it stands today. A certain path you don't cross. Like I said last week, in every prophet's community, there were zealots. I'm telling you, Elijah Muhammad told us, leave that man alone. I believe Elijah Muhammad said he'll come back repentant. Leave him alone. At the same time that Malcolm went out, Wallace D. Muhammad went out too. Come on. And wrote in the Daily News, Chicago Daily News, and Sepia Magazine, such ugly things about his father. And if it were not for the mercy of that father, that son would be dead, killed by one of his own brothers. But Elijah Muhammad said, leave him alone. Malcolm was his son. Aaron, yes, but leave him alone. You're not to judge him. Leave him alone. And we left him alone. I'm going to tell you something about the nation. The nation that I love. Some of these rotten ministers and leaders and captains were in the nation yesterday and some are in the nation today. You don't like the way of God. If God say put them out in your heart, you want you don't think that's strong enough, so you want to beat somebody up or you want to exact some kind of retribution on somebody as though you are God beside God. You don't like my way because I'm a merciful man. Some of you are hypocrites right now. Honorable Elijah Muhammad didn't send me to beat black people or shoot black people, but to teach black people. And you'll always find me defending black people because he showed me how to defend my people. Do you know, sisters and brothers, in the Bible, David had a son called Absalom. And Absalom rose up against his father David and violated David's wives in the presence of all of Israel and made war on the father. And when the father's forces went out to meet the forces of the son, David told Joab, when you catch my son, don't kill him. Bring my son to me. Absalom had long hair, according to the Bible, and he was caught up in a tree. And Joab, even though the king said, leave him alone, Joab wanted to be a law unto himself. He allowed his emotion and his hatred for what that son had done to take control, and he spared Absalom through. And they brought the son of David back dead. And while all of Israel was rejoicing, you could hear David in his tent crying, saying over and over and over again, my son, my son, my son. I had an experience with this. Have any of you ever had an out-of-the-body experience? Well, if you haven't, I have. I was in Boston, and all of a sudden, my spirit seemed to rise right up out of my body, and I could see myself floating above the trees and the highways, and I found myself in Chicago. And as I was coming around the house of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at 4847 South Woodlawn, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was in the room of Warith Deen Muhammad. And he was sitting on his bed, on Wallace's bed, looking toward the door with his back to the window. And he was crying the deepest cry that I ever heard a man cry. You know, when a man cries and he's coming up from the gut, deep, deep, deep. And he was saying over and over and over, my son, my son, my son. And I said to him through the window, the apostle, I will be your son. And he never turned to acknowledge my presence at the window, so my spirit returned. And I watched myself go right back and get into my body. And I woke up and I started reading the Bible and found the words of David and know that I heard the cry of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over both Wallace and Malcolm. We have zealots in the nation, and we have agents in the nation. I believe the zealots in the mosque in Newark, as it has now come out, that they were from the Newark mosque, killed Malcolm. But the hurting thing is, two innocent men went to prison for 25 years of their life. And they were sentenced to a prison term that they didn't deserve by the mouth of Betty Shabazz. Betty was so hurt at the death of her husband. Being in the marsh, she knew Thomas Johnson and Norman Butler, and she placed them at the scene of the crime when they were not there. And this same Betty, so vindictive and hurt, I can understand the hurt, got on LIB in New York and said that I, as well as some of Malcolm's brothers, were a part of an assassination committee to destroy her husband. Hypocrisy is a hell of a thing. So in my conclusion, the FBI knew that Malcolm was going to die. How did they know? Who informed them? In Spike's movie, when Malcolm was in the hotel, you saw the bug in the lampshade. That's to throw you off the track. They may have bugged the lampshade. But the scripture says, where there are two or three of you gathered together in my name, there I am also among you. That's the way it is with the FBI. Wherever there are two or three of you gathered together for whatever your righteous purpose is, that enemy agent is right there among us, playing like he's one of us. So the zealots, like Joab, could not respond to their leader's instruction. Their hatred for Malcolm was greater than their leader's instruction. Somebody told Malcolm to take the guards off the door. Don't let them search. And Malcolm went along with it. Malcolm was very confused, very upset. If you listen to his talk, you watched him when he was clean and firing. Then when he got his beard and he was disheveled and he just didn't have it. And the same people that he whipped in debate began to beat up on Malcolm. Poor brother. He was writing to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to get back in the nation when he was assassinated. No uniformed policeman, nowhere in the ballroom, but an agent. Gene Roberts was one of his bodyguards. And when Malcolm fell under the bullets, it was this agent who claimed to be giving Malcolm mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. It was an agent in the Panther Party that told the authorities where Fred Hampton would be sleeping. And they drugged our brother. And they shot so many holes in that apartment on the west side, there was no way that Fred Hampton and Mark Clark could have lived, and anybody that got out of there was lucky. It's always been agents and stool pigeons that set us up for the big devil. Was there an agent among those who assassinated Malcolm? Why were two arrested at the ballroom, as I said last week, and only one later was mentioned in the paper? One was dropped and dropped completely out of sight. When Spike Lee, and let me tell you something about Spike. You may not like Spike. That's my brother. I love him. I think I understand him. Spike read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Spike fell in love with Malcolm, as many of you did. Spike was hurt that such a great one was lost to us. And Spike believed that Elijah Muhammad had him killed. And he makes a hint, ever so slightly, in his book, The Making of the Movie Malcolm X. He makes a hint that in his heart he wanted to get even with Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. So when Spike and I talked, and my son-in-law asked Spike, have you ever read the Holy Quran? Didn't you ask him that, Brother Leonard? What did he say? He said he had never read this book. So we asked him, on what basis are you going to judge the domestic life of Elijah Muhammad if you don't read and understand the book out of which he acted? Do you think that Malcolm X gave up Elijah Muhammad because of some sex thing? Do you really think it's that shallow? How could he? How many wives did Prophet Muhammad have, Brother Baghdadi? Some people say 9, some people say 11. Now, when Malcolm was slandering the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, talking about teenage secretaries, didn't the Prophet take a wife who was a pre-teenager? What was her name? Aisha. When he married her, how old was she? She was 11 years old. But he did not have conjugal relations with her until what year? They say 14. Well, Malcolm, how you gonna leave Elijah, who had wives, some of them young women? And that man took you up out of the mud and cleans you up. You didn't know nothing about no Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad didn't come and get you out of jail. It wasn't Umar. It wasn't Ali. It wasn't Abu Bakr. It wasn't Uthman. How you going to say you're going to dump a man that cleans you up and then go follow the Prophet that had 11 wives, and one of his was a pre-teenager? Does that make sense? Come on. You know anything about Malcolm? You ever read his words, studied his teaching, or what he taught from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? Do you think Malcolm could go to Mecca and be bamboozled, hoodwinked? I've been to Mecca. Many, many times. I ate food out of a bowl with white people, brown people, red people, yellow people. I drank water with black, brown, red, yellow, and white in Mecca. That didn't change me and make me think that there's no racism in Islam. I'm not no fool. And can't nobody fool me. I know what I'm looking at. Why in the hell is Africa so backward? Why won't the Saudis back Africa, back the Somalis?
They're suffering in Somalia. Why didn't the Saudis send money there to feed them? Why you don't back the Muslims in Bosnia? You got some problems. You're not going to fool me that there is no color in Islam. You tell that to some other person. You don't tell that to me. I know better. Why are Muslim Arabs in the black community selling pig to my people? You know it's divinely forbidden, but you sell it. Yet the prophet said, a man is not a Muslim till he wants for his brother what he wants for himself. So evidently, you don't see us as your brother because we're in a savage condition. Nobody wants us until God came to claim us as his own. So Malcolm is dead. And the sisters who were the wives of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have been slandered. You don't ask a man if he's married, are you having sex with your wife? The question is moot. If that's my wife, I have a right to that. So why didn't Malcolm say he took wives? Why did he say teenage secretaries? Because he knew that would inflame you. And it would keep you away from Elijah Muhammad because he had become embittered. Now I conclude. In that scenario, was Malcolm worthy to sit in the seat of Elijah Muhammad and lead? And be a redeemer of our people? Wait, wait, wait. How many of you ever read the story in the Bible of Noah and his sons? Did you know that Noah had three sons? Noah got all of them out of the flood. They landed on Mount Ararat. You remember? According to the Bible. He sent a raven out. The raven didn't come back. He sent a dove out. The dove came back. He came outside of the ark. According to the Bible, he got drunk and was naked laying in the sand. Two sons refused to look on his nakedness and covered him. And another son called Ham looked down at his nakedness and mocked the man who got him out of the flood. And Noah cursed him. And God upheld the curse, according to the Bible. Now you look at Elijah Muhammad. Did he get Malcolm out of Malcolm's condition? If he saw the leader in that condition, what should he have done? Cover him. Since the leader covered him, why don't you cover the leader and wait till understanding comes? Why would you go to the enemy of both of you? He became vindictive. He was hurt and bitter. Now, let me conclude. I know it's long. Don't tell me. I've been preaching all day. You know how I know Malcolm's shoes? Did you know that before Spike made the movie, that this brother was trying to make the movie Malcolm X? You didn't know that, did you? I never told you, but Brother Akbar knows. Were you with me when I went overseas? Thank you. Come out here, Brother Akbar, since you've been with me a long time.
Did you stand over here? My brother and I have been together a long time. When Godfrey Cambridge died, Brock Peters called my wife, and I was on my way to California in an automobile, and I happened to stop in New Mexico, and I called my wife, and she told me to call Brock Peters, because Godfrey Cambridge, the comedian, had died and they wanted me to speak at his funeral. I spoke at Godfrey Cambridge's funeral, and at the funeral was Maya Angelou, James Baldwin, Cicely Tyson, all Hollywood was there. And when it was over, we went back to Brock's house, and I was sitting with Maya Angelou and James Baldwin. And I told James Baldwin, I would like to do a movie on the life of Malcolm. I think it would be the greatest help to bring people from the street to Islam. James Baldwin said, I wrote the first script. He said, I don't know nobody that could do it better than you. He said, I'll send you the script. This was December. I said, you know, Jimmy, I'll be in Egypt in February. And he was living in southern France then. And he was to meet me in Egypt, and we were to go over the script before I went into the Middle East to get money to do the film. As Allah is my witness, he sent me the script. I read it. And when I saw Malcolm in bed with the white woman, I said, oh no. I said, I can't play that part. We got to fix this up. So if you notice, Spike kind of handled that, you know. He tried to handle it as gingerly as he could. But with me, he wouldn't have to handle it at all, because I wasn't going to get near no white woman in no scene like that. Because images mean a lot. Brother Akbar was with me. We were in Uganda with Idi Amin. Idi Amin called Muammar Gaddafi and told Gaddafi, I got a brother here that you have to meet. And they flew me from Egypt to Uganda and from Uganda back to Libya on Idi Amin's plane. And we missed Gaddafi. And so he had me meet with his people. And when I told his people what I had in mind about a movie, did they mock me and kind of laugh, and I had to kind of beat them up a little bit? Nothing happening. I went to Mecca and sat with the scholars in Mecca about making a movie about Malcolm X's life. And the scholars looked at me and said, it is against us.